Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
So you know the ice cream brand Udders, right? They're famous here in Singapore. They can be found in 400 retail points all across Singapore. They started as a tiny shop with 15 ice cream flavors, started by a husband and wife team. She has a law degree under her belt, worked as a lawyer for 4 years, worked as a business consultant for 9 years, and then together with a husband, who taught chemistry, they decided for 4 straight months to experiment with ice cream. They made a lot of ice cream. They ate a lot of ice cream. They made even more ice cream. And eventually, they launched Udders. Peck Lin is co-founder, and she tells me she's also chief milkmaid of Udders. Do you eat a lot of? Do you still eat a lot of ice cream, Peck Lin?
Yeah, we do. We still eat a lot of ice cream every week. So it's a really fun job. Anyone who likes to eat a lot of ice cream should apply to us.
Well, thank you for joining us. We're excited to find out how you did it, how you built this business. And by the way, you have a new brand that you've launched. What is it called?
It's called Nude with a double U. So it's N-U-U-D-E.
That's very risky for an ice cream shop.
Somewhat. It's about having pure and natural ingredients. Lower calories, naked goodness, and you know, you can eat a lot of nude and probably look good in a nude.
Ah, now I understand the brand for ice cream. So Nude has less sugar, less calories, and I can find it everywhere I would find Udders ice cream. Is that
not
it? Is
everywhere?
That right? Not
it
everywhere.
Would be, you would find it in Shell stations and also in FairPrice Finest for now.
Okay, all right. I will drive to a Shell to try it out myself. Now, tell us how the pandemic has affected your business. We know so many malls are closed, people are not going out. So what did the pandemic mean for you, for Udders?
Right. Our outlets were impacted because our outlets had to close for a certain period of time in April to May. And also there was no seating during the circuit breaker. But I think the impact on us was moderated because other than outlets, we actually have 7 other sales channels. We supply to airlines, to supermarkets and convenience stores, to restaurants and cafes. And we do a lot of e-commerce as well and corporate gifting. So with all these other channels, it kind of moderated the impact on the outlets from COVID.
That's an important point for entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs to think about, right? You had scale, basically, before the pandemic started and different revenue channels. So that's helpful. What have been major milestones for your business, though? You started in 2007, 13 years ago, 15 ice cream flavors back then. So what was key to getting started, do you think?
Having a good idea. And having the right motivations. So for us, I guess we reached a point in our lives at about 35 years of age. I guess you can calculate my age from there. And we reached a point where we wanted to do something original and imaginative, something that really reflects our personalities and values. So we set about creating a concept. The whole concept of Udders is actually quite us as people, the humor, the fun, the tongue-in-cheek. We also wanted to find a way to generate wealth to benefit a bunch of people, namely our staff, and also financial security for ourselves. So that's what we wanted to do in the beginning, and we set out to do that. Over the last 13 years, there's been a lot of milestones. Getting onto Singapore Airlines was one big milestone. Mm. Unfortunately, COVID hit, so that's been put on hold for now. But it's been really quite a journey going, creating flavors, creating the brand, creating the concept, and then getting into 7-8 channels. So it's always something new.
So how do you actually turn that dream into reality? I mean, did you bootstrap it? Did you have to take a loan from a bank to get started? What was your startup budget?
Yes, the startup budget was about $200,000 for the first shop. And that came out from our savings. Wow. But when we wanted to open the second and third shop and the central kitchen, we had to take a mortgage on our house. And we used the loan to expand the business to the second and third shop. So that was a little bit stressful because we already had two little kids at that time, 0 years old and 5 years old. So I had to continue working full-time to bring home the bacon, as it were. And then David worked full-time in the business. But stressful because you never know how business turns out, especially in the first 3 years. It's generally quite rocky.
You're a great Singapore story for a Singapore brand, I think, because from the sounds of it, you taught yourselves everything along the way about making ice cream. I mean, David was a chemistry teacher, but I'm sure that wasn't a big part of the curriculum.
No, I'm quite sure ice cream was not part of the chemistry curriculum for secondary school. But yes, a lot of it is self-taught. And it helps that we love food, and he's got a really good taste discernment. So that really helped us to create a lot of flavors which resonated with Singaporeans, like durian and stuff like that, which at that time was quite rare.
Ah, because right now you can get all these Singaporean-flavored chips, for example, right? Chicken rice chips. You can even get chicken rice ice cream these days. So back then, the way you stood out was by creating these unique flavor profiles. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So we focused on Asian flavors, rather local flavors like chendol and coconut and so on. And also the other differentiating point was our liqueur flavors. So we had very strong liqueur flavors up to 4% alcohol, which is the equivalent of a beer alcohol content. And we felt that it reached the segment alcoholic ice cream that's not quite kids, but it's not quite hard drinking as well.
Right.
So it kind of sits nicely in between. And we thought that would appeal to entry-level kind of drinkers who would like something a little bit alcoholic, but not in an environment of a watering hole.
All right. That's interesting. Because, you know, you think when you're at the ideating stage and you're talking with your husband and, you know, somebody comes up with the idea of ice cream, doesn't the other one go, but it's such a crowded market. How are we going to compete with Ben and Jerry's and all the other brands out there? Right? Didn't anybody have doubts? Did you have doubts?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because these American brands are huge. I mean, they're global, right? So we have less money, less resources, less everything, and it's just two of us. So what are we going to do to be able to compete against them in an open market?
Yeah.
So that's where the local flavors and the Asian flavors helped us to be able to reach our Singaporeans in a more intimate way. Mm. We're closer to you. We have these kinds of local flavors like pulut hitam and all this sort of stuff that I don't think the American brands would have any time soon.
Right.
Immediately that got us an audience and over time a following.
Do you have Gula Melaka ice cream? I just tried some Gula Melaka in my Irish coffee and it was a huge hit.
We do. So we have Singapore chendol.
Yum.
Actually, this is the flavor that was served on Singapore Airlines, millions of cups.
Wow. Singapore chendol was a big hit on the airlines.
Yes. We had people writing to us from all over the world asking, what is this thing? Can you bring it to our country?
Oh, that's so great. So, actually, you know, you're exporting a taste of Singapore as well and educating palates around the world when you're on airlines. But can people around the world get your ice cream now?
We've just exported to Dubai, a small shipment. So they will be distributing the ice creams there. We will also be exporting to Malaysia and to Indonesia in the next 2 months. In fact, our new outlet in Jakarta starts in January. The renovation's ongoing now, and we should be able to serve Udders ice cream in Jakarta in January.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Is that your first overseas outpost?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Wonderful to hear.
Very excited about it.
We are speaking with the chief milkmaid of Singapore homegrown brand, Udders. Her name is Peck Lin. Together with her husband, David, they launched the business back in 2007, and we're learning how they did it. Peck Lin, what is your favorite item on the Udders menu?
Me? Oh, it's the ballsy mint. I'm a mint person, so this is a mint with little chocolate balls in it. So you get the refreshing taste and then also the crunch from the balls. So for me, that's my favorite. It's quite a niche flavor, but it totally works with me.
What is the most unusual flavor on the Udders menu right now, do you think?
Right now, it would be the burnt honey rosemary.
Ah.
So that's our Christmas flavor for now. And we use fresh rosemary herbs for it. So you really have that taste of the rosemary coming in, but not too overpowering, together with the scorched honey. I think, a lot of my staff love it, and they've been pushing it to customers, pushing them to try it.
Very unusual sounding flavor, burnt honey, rosemary. Let's pivot to the business right now. Everyone is wondering how to make a living in a post-pandemic world. So what are the key challenges that you think others faces in the near future, and how do you plan to meet them?
I think manpower remains a challenge. So that's partly why the reason why we pivoted away from only doing an outlet business, because the more outlets you have, the more manpower you need. And everyone's familiar with the manpower challenges in Singapore for F&B. So because of that, we had all these other channels which do not worry us in terms of the manpower. Post-COVID also, the safe distancing continues to apply, which means that in our outlets, what used to have 80 seats would now have only maybe about 50 seats. So if you think about it, you're still paying the same amount of rent, you're still paying the same amount of manpower, but you've got 30 seats less. So how do you make that work, right? We have to be really strong on e-commerce. So if people can't come to the shop to sit down, we really got to get the ice cream to them. So in that sense, I think corporate gifting has helped a lot, because a lot of people are working from home, and companies still need to find a way to reach out to their employees, show them some love. And what better way to show love than ice cream? So we've been delivering a lot of ice cream to people's homes.
Fantastic. So it sounds like you've got to work with good logistic partners for that.
Yeah, we do. We have a bunch of drivers, and they've got it down into a system how exactly to deliver the ice creams to which areas and so on.
Is that your own fleet? Or
No. These are outsourced.
Outsourced companies.
We know them. Yeah, we know them well, so everything's down to a system.
So I am obsessed with the founder of Spanx, Sarah Blakely, right?
Yes.
And how
yes.
she built her business, because I think it's just so inspirational. And I think a lot of people will look at you as inspiration here in Singapore, starting a business at 35. You have a law degree, but doing something completely different. What do you want to say to women who want to make the dream happen for themselves?
I would say, think about your reasons. If you've got really clear reasons, and if you feel very strongly about it, do it sooner rather than later, because your energy level is higher when you're younger.
Yeah.
The second thing I would say is, do you have experience or a network in the new area? That really helps to mitigate the risk, because it's all about mitigating risk. Anyone can do anything new.
Mm-hmm.
It's about increasing the odds of success in a new area. And the third thing I would say is, if they, like me, had two kids when I started, is there a backup plan to financially provide for your dependents if the business takes longer than you thought to be self-sustaining? That takes a lot of the stress away from starting something new when you don't have something that bugs you at the back regarding financial provisions.
And do you have to have gumption as well? I mean, when you get into all these different distribution channels, right? N2C or a supermarket or an airline, are you pitching yourself, or are you working with a business consultant to open these doors for you? How are you making this happen?
No, we pitch them ourselves, So
wow.
Getting into supermarkets and the convenience stores and hotels, restaurants, cafes and so on, each and every one of this is a pitch, which is a lot of energy involved behind it.
Yeah.
But what I say is that alongside this, as you're doing this, if you're building the brand as well, and if your brand is something that consumers like and accept, it's much easier to then grow the B2B side, because your business partners already can see that your ice cream sells, people like it, people like the brand. And the brand has to be a value add for the partner's business. Then it's an easier sell. Not easy, but it's easier. And then it makes sense, you see. So I think you've got to really put the effort into building the brand, which is the B2C side, and then work on the B2B.
Well, You know, we're so happy to have spoken with you and to learn about the journey in entrepreneurship that you've taken. And we're always happy to support local businesses here on Influence. So, Peklin, thank you for joining us and good luck with Nude.
So, thanks, Michelle.
She's co-founder, and she tells me it's on her business card, Chief Milkmaid, of the ice cream brand Udders. They've just launched a new brand with less sugar, less calories. It's called Nude. You've been listening to Influence. I'm Michelle Martin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.